Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate on the day he was going to die, he stood there a most unlikely king. Just days before, Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey. That was not an accident. Riding in on a donkey was the traditional Israelite way in which a king would enter into a city. The crowds gathered. They gathered to wave palm branches. They gathered to shout greetings to this king as he arrived. They shouted out, quoting the verse of Psalm 118, "Hosanna," which means save us. "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." The crowds heralded Jesus as king. He'd come to Jerusalem, in John's gospel, fresh from raising Lazarus from the dead. No one had ever done anything like that before. Jesus' fame and his prestige were at their highest point as he came to Jerusalem. But the Jewish leaders, aware of his popularity and frightened by it, had secretly begun to plot against him. It was Caiaphas the high priest who had already determined after Jesus had raised Lazarus that it was better for this one man to die than for the whole nation to be destroyed by the Romans. This populous and popular self-appointed king was causing an awful lot of trouble for himself. Palm Sunday was not the first time that Jesus was hailed as a king. Way back in the early chapters of John's gospel, back in chapter 6, when he was still up in the north, still up in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had performed the miracle of feeding the crowds. And the crowds loved it. Free food you didn't have to work for. Who wouldn't love that? And the crowds were going on and on about who this Jesus was. They were hailing him as the prophet who has come into the world. And John's gospel tells us they wanted to come and make Jesus king by force. They wanted to force him, whether he wanted it or not, to be their king. Because who wouldn't love a king who takes care of his people to the point of giving them their daily meals? Now, there are not too many people in the history of the world who have been made king against their will. Usually when it comes to this king thing, people are lining up for the job. The Roman Empire in the 3rd century had over 50 kings, most of whom died at the hands of their soldiers or their enemies, but that did not deter them from wanting to be king. But not Jesus. Jesus didn't want this. When he found out that the crowds were coming to try and make him king, he snuck off by himself to the mountains and waited until the crowd's fervor died down. The King of the Jews was a title many had sought throughout history. Israel, if you know your Old Testament, had its share of kings. There were a few good kings, kings like David and Hezekiah and Josiah, but unfortunately most of Israel's kings were not good. Most miserably failed the Lord, and they miserably failed God's people. They let power, wealth, honor, and the ability to exercise unhealthy authority go right to their heads, and that always spelled disasters. They forgot that the Lord God was truly king of Israel, and they were simply his servants. They liked the job, and they liked the perks that came with the job, and they forgot the Lord. They often led Israel to worship other gods who maybe didn't demand quite so much of them, and they became quite adept at sinning. Even in Jesus' own time, there were a number of people who rose up, who claimed the title of King of the Jews or Savior, and you know what? They have all ended up on the trash heap of history. And now, on this Friday, Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, beaten, whipped, abandoned by all of his would-be followers. He stood there alone as the leaders of his own people demanded his death. He was a traitor, they said. He was a blasphemer. He deserved to die. And Pontius Pilate, the hardened and very cynical Roman procurator, he must have raised a quizzical eye upon Jesus as he asked, "Are you King of the Jews?" thought Pilate, if this is the best the Jews can do, then we Romans don't have anything to worry about. But this bloody and beaten man surprised him. Do you ask me this on your own, or did others tell you about me? And I would imagine Pilate had to have been taken aback by that response. I'm not a Jew, he said. Your own nation and your own chief priest have handed you over to me. This is not the way a nation handles its king, thought Pilate. But then Jesus surprised him even more. My kingdom, he said, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. What sort of would-be king would talk like this, thought Pilate? Is he crazy? Or is there something else going on? Probing him again, Pilate asked, and I've always imagined he asked in a very sly voice with a hint of sarcasm in it, so you are a king. Let's see what the guy says now, Pilate must have thought to himself. You say that I'm a king, said Jesus, turning Pilate's question into a statement. And for this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And how did Pilate respond to that? Did his response come with surprise, indignation, amusement, sincerity? We don't know. But all we know is Pilate said, "What is truth?" And so ended the first part of one of the most interesting and important conversations in history. Pilate and Jesus debating royal kingship, Pilate and Jesus debating eternal truths. In the end, Pilate decided there was no case against Jesus. He would have him brutally beaten with whips, but then he would have him released. He dressed him in a purple robe. He put a crown of thorns on his head, mocking him as the king of the Jews. But that humiliation and punishment would be enough. But it wasn't enough for the crowds. It wasn't enough for the Jewish leaders. They wanted more. They wanted Jesus dead. And as tensions started to brew up, Pilate again turned to Jesus, and he started the interrogation over once again. Where are you from? He said. Who was this man standing before him? He must have wondered. And Jesus remained silent. So Pilate continued, do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you or the power to crucify you? And then Jesus, alone and defenseless, must have shocked him with his reply. You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. And after that, not sure what to do, Pilate decided, I'm going to release him. Surely this man does not deserve to die. But the crowds again would hear none of it. And Pilate, playing the politician, always playing the politician, decided it was easier just to hand him over and have him done away with in order to keep things from getting out of hand. And Jesus of Nazareth, the so-called King of the Jews, he went to his death. And now, it's nearly 2,000 years later. Pontius Pilate is long since dead, and were it not for Jesus of Christ, he would have since been erased from history. But the one he sent to the cross still remains. He remains and still is heralded as king by billions of people. He remains the answer to Pilate's question, what is truth? Because the night before, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. He went on to say to his disciples, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Well, today is the end of another church year. And as we do each and every year, as Christians have for well over 1,500 years, we end our church year by hearing about our King Jesus. We hear about him every Sunday of the year. And starting next week, when we begin Advent, we take our time getting to Christmas instead of what everyone else does. We begin our Advent journey by hearing about the one who will come, the one who will come as King. It's in Matthew's Gospel that the wise men come declaring, "We have seen the star that belongs to the King of the Jews, the one who is King of all humanity." In the verse you heard read from Revelation, this last book of the Bible, it begins with this declaration of Jesus calling him the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. I like that line. The ruler of the kings of the earth. Because to this day, many kings and queens all over the world, they carry the cross of Jesus atop their crowns. To this day, the leader of our nation, taking an oath of office, does so with one hand on the Bible, which tells the story of our King. You and I, we are all baptized in the name of our King Jesus. We all carry on our foreheads the mark of his cross given us at our baptisms. We today symbolically still stand with those disciples on that hillside in Galilee nearly 2,000 years ago who gathered to see the risen Lord Jesus and hear him declare that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is our King, a King unlike any king in world history. A king who is served by his subjects, but a king who also served his subjects by giving his life for them on the cross. Few kings do that. So, my friends, on this last Sunday of the church year, remember your King Jesus. Honor your King Jesus. Worship your King Jesus. Live for your King Jesus. The most unlikely king the world has ever seen. The king whose throne is a cross. But the greatest king the world will ever see. May we live each day as his faithful, devoted servants.